You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hello, this is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 19th of September, 2023. My name is Patrick Smith. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, and on Twitter. You can also download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and a load more of your normal podcast providers. On this week's show, two preseason exhibition games between the Giants and the Clan wrap up the niceties as we prepare to start the real action with the group stage of the Challenge Cup this weekend. He wasn't available the weekend, but he joins us tonight. Mark Cooper is our guest. The EIHL have a new stats package to track the game online for your enjoyment. Our resident stat man, Davey, chatted to Luke Fisher of the Elite League all about it. And for his first appearance since 2017, the original friend of the show, Mark Lefebvre, will return to View from the Bridge to help preview his Dundee Stars weekend against our own Belfast Giants. Mr. McGimsey, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, Mr. Smith. It's very lovely to see you, Mr. Kitchen. Hope you're well.
Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
Not doing so great. I've gone deaf in one ear, like just what? Can't hear. I know. It's lucky I'm facing this way, or I wouldn't have been able to hear that.
Have you only got one ear put in?
Pointless putting one in the other ear, can't hear anything.
That's happened. Yeah, I've heard that happen. A few people have started to get I think our old friend Joel Neils had a bit of issue with that as a hearing going as well. I was reading about how he's a few issues with just old age, man. Old age. What can I say? We're going to crack ahead with, I was hoping to have Laura Small join us. She's dropped out. She'll be here in a couple of minutes. It is organ donation week, and we're delighted to be joined by Marchie McGowan. How are you doing, mate? Marchie, can you hear us?
He just put a message there, says he can't hear us. Not hear us, Marshine.
And we can't hear him. Hooray! I don't know what's happened there. Well, we'll come back to Marchine in just a second. Hopefully we can sort that out. But it is organ donation week, Simon, and it's a real drive from the Belfast Giants. Another one that Laura will be along with us in a second to talk about.
Yeah, it is. It's huge. You know, we've done this for quite a number of years now. It's led by Laura, and she gets everybody involved in it. We had a few of the kids down today, actually not just the kids, a lot of Giants fans were down at the arena today along with some of the players, and they took a big photograph today. So hopefully Laura's going to be able to come back on and give us more details of it. She's an absolute machine when it comes to this type of thing, and the you know, what she does for everything with regards to getting the exposure and dealing with the marketing team and you know, just getting out there and liaising with the donation organizations and everything as well. It's nothing short of remarkable. I don't know enough about it, Patrick. It's one of those ones where I should know more about it. I'm registered as an organ donor, and Jasmine and my brother and sisters are well aware of what I want to do when and if I pass away. So it's you know, I want to donate anything that's any of use to anybody else. There's not an awful lot of me that probably, you know, I don't know about knees and I don't know about shoulders and what have you, but, you know, of a good heart, I think. You know, if there's anybody out there that could potentially benefit from that, if something happens to me, I think it's the right thing to do. So if anybody can go along to the register this weekend, and I know that it's like a soft register. I'm not sure the correct wording for it. You know, you're automatically become a donor now before you actually have to say yes or no. You know, the way you used to have to tick a box, I think it's automatic now, but yes. Still, if something does happen to you, whoever your dependents are, they still have to go to them first of all and say, are you okay with this, even though they said they wanted to donate. So I think, again, Laura and Marcin will have much more information than I will.
Well, let's bring Marcin back in, because you can hear us now, Marcin.
Yes, I can. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for joining us once again on A View from the Bridge. It's good to see you. Obviously, young Dahi has a name on that law with regards to the opt-out and the opt-in on being an organ donor. But from your point of view, you know, how important is the drive this week?
It's absolutely massive. You know, Dahi's law is in place. And, you know, we've already found out that it's actually saving lives. You know, I got a text the week after Dahi's law would come into effect, from a lovely family to say that their loved one was the first in Dahi's law, and their loved one went on to save two lives, and that was just a week after Dahi's law came into effect. But what the biggest thing that I would love to get out of tonight, and I know there's plenty of people listening, because I'm already getting messages of stick saying sort it out with my microphone, is that you know, it's organ donation week. Every week for my family and a lot of families and every out there, and every day and every week is organ donation day and week. But, you know, for the general public, it's a great opportunity, you know, to turn to your loved one. And even if people are watching and couples or with family tonight, just turn to your loved one and say, remember, I'm a registered organ donor. Please respect my wishes. Even put it in the group chat. Take 2 minutes to have that wee chat. The thing is, Dahi's law is in place, but the way I like to look at Dahi's law is it's a bit of a safety net. You know, if anything were to happen and you weren't registered, you're automatically a donor unless your family says no, or, you know, it always goes down to the family. But the thing is, we want people making their own decision. We want people to join, take the 2 minutes, tick that box. That box is still there, Simon. You know, you can still tick it, and come along to us at the game this weekend, and it takes 2 minutes. And so that's the way we look at it. Dahi's law, it's amazing that it's in place, but we're still encouraging people to join the organ donor register, because it's so important.
It is a case where, you know, obviously this Friday will probably be is the main game where we'll be you'll be able to go and be part of that registration. The awareness is such a massive drive. You've brought it up there yourself, the awareness, and not just like yourself, but your family, your friends, and as you say, you know, letting people know. It's quite shocking at times about how many, you know, especially if I talk about my own family and my own friends, quite sure how little awareness there is of it.
Yes, and, you know, that's why we started the campaign back when Dahi was listed. We were horrified to see that only 42% of our population had joined the register. And at that time, it was on the up, and people were happy with that. But I was saying to myself, hold on a second. My son needs a gift of a heart transplant. It's the last resort. A transplant's a last resort. And if you're a registered organ donor, you're in the minority in society. I thought that was insane. Now, I'm happy to say that in the time we've been campaigning, and we're delighted to have played a role in this, is that it's now 53%. So, you know, it is creeping up there, and with Dahi's law in place, that, you know, things are looking a lot better. But, you know, we're not there yet. And even with Dahi's law, I kind of thought there was a wee bit of a vibe that, you know, that job's done and, you know, we're sorted now, and we're far from it. You know, our Dahi still is far from getting a new heart as he was this time last year. And in this year, you know, we've seen the week the law came into effect that he was actually suspended from the list. And, you know, I'm happy to report he's back on the list and he's back waiting. But, you know, so much can happen in a year. So we just want to encourage every single body to, you know, tick that box, you know, be aware, share your wishes with your loved ones, because no matter what, if you're on the register or if you're not on the register, it's your loved ones that make that decision. So your loved ones actually have the potential to overrule your actual decision. So you have to make sure you say to them, I'm a registered organ donor. Please respect my wishes.
Fantastic. We spoke about it earlier on. We can finally bring her in. Laura, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Patrick, how are you?
I'm very, very, very well. From your point of view, and what's happening this weekend with regards to the game on Friday night?
So it's Organ Donation Week, and as always, we are supporting that. We have so many fans that are affected by organ donation, be it recipients waiting for an organ or have given their loved one's organ at the last minute when they've died suddenly and they've made that decision. And it's like Martine said, it's so important that we tell each other this. We talked about it in our meeting today because that's exactly what they said. Oh, is it not all kind of sorted like with the law? And I was like, no. And also your family will have the ultimate decision. So tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell whoever is going to make that decision in your moment that that's what you want. So we're also going to be looking, not only encouraging people to join up for organ donation, but also to donate blood. And I know I batter on about this every year, but it's not changing, and we're always going to need blood. Northern Ireland needs 850 blood every week. That is an obscene figure, and only 6% of the people actually donate here. That figure is not rising, and I feel like I've been saying that since 2008, which is wild. If you're aged between, I think it's 16 or 17 and 65, you can give blood. It is relatively painless. It's just a little prick and you're done, like a couple of minutes later, and you've saved someone's life in, I think it's in three people's lives in something like 3 or 4 days. There is nothing better you can do for people than save their life. Nothing. We are really hopeful that one last thing, and then I will be quiet, we are going to be doing is stem cells. So people, bone marrow transplants, so people are still fixated on the old process that was used, which is where a very large needle was put into your hip bone and the bone marrow extracted that way. That only happens in 5 to 10% of cases now. It is as straightforward as like removing blood. The stem cells are grown within you. The byproduct that they need is grown within you and like taken out like blood. That is nothing. Again, a couple of hours at the hospital, you're home to go, like good to go home that day, and you've saved someone's life. It's insane. So we're hopefully going to be able to do those tests and get people to actually sign up and test themselves. They'll be added to the stem cell register. It's basically like doing a COVID swab, but it's even easier. It doesn't go down your throat, doesn't go up your nose. It just goes into your cheeks and you're done. So we're just waiting on that company, hopefully, to send us those tests. We encourage you all. It's probably going to be in the bridge. It may move. Come along. Every time we have this conversation, I have people message me. I'm not really sure if organ donation is for me. My advice, come along, look Martin in the face and tell him that and let him explain to you why it's important. Talk to Dylan. He's going to tell you why. Dylan is a recipient and a donor. I mean, he's got to be a few in the world that are in that boat. Talk to Graham, who has a heart. Talk to Tom Simpson, who has had over 300 blood transfusions, the importance of blood. And then come back and send me a message next week and tell me if you still feel the same way. Come and listen. It's all very well me banging on about it, but talk to these people who it actually affects on a day-to-day basis. That's my rant for the day.
Fantastic. Listen, the amount of work that goes into to providing this, and you know, obviously what we do is just a drop in the ocean compared to what is required, but every single little piece will be helpful in like blood donation, organ donation, everything like that. What you can do, the littlest things you can do can help save lives. And I think it's fantastic that we're in this and that we help push this, and hopefully it'll be Laura's gone and Laura's back. Hopefully we'll be in a position where you know somebody who comes along on Friday and registers can go on to help save another person's life, which is just remarkable. Guys, listen, we really appreciate your time tonight, and thanks for joining us. Good luck on Friday, and yeah, and best of luck. Give her love to Dahi as well, Martin.
Well, Dave, thanks very much for having us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Big thanks to Laura and to Martin for their time. Right. Gentlemen, let's have a look at the two games that took place over the weekend in Glasgow and back at the SSE Arena, the Belfast Giants, in the final pre-season action that took place before the start of the Challenge Cup group stages this forthcoming weekend. I'll take you through a couple of statistics and then we'll talk about the games and have a few of the highlights. On Friday, the Belfast Giants were in Glasgow and they won 5-2. The goals from Nazarian Brown, 2 from Preston, 1 from McLeod, and for the Clan, goal from Bolton and Jordan Coney. Jackson Whistle and Jake Kelly were nets respectively. And then it was back to the SSE on Saturday. And it was a 3-1 win for the Glasgow Clan. 2 from Bolton, 1 from Craighead for the Clan, and the Giants goal come from Quinn Preston. Jackson and Antti Karalainen were in net for... Antti Karalainen was in net for the Glasgow Clan. I'll be honest with you, gents. On the back of what we've had in the weeks gone by with the CHL and the action and with the preseason we had going back to the Devils and what we've got coming this forthcoming weekend, David, I really couldn't get myself up for these games.
You couldn't?
No, I just found it like, it was not like after the Lord Mayor show, but like what were feisty enough games? But you're talking about we were short on bodies to begin with. And there are two games that were just sort of keep us ticking over before we go into the games against Dundee.
I think in our own little WhatsApp groups, we talked about this. This for me was a little bit about conditioning, maybe getting a few guys that don't normally play with each other. Maybe just let this start here. Superb tribute just to Mike Hammond at the very start. Oh, you don't absolutely have it signed on.
Oh, you signed on. Yeah. So it was obviously Mike Hammond. Mike Hammond actually having passed away over the summer. A player for the Glasgow Clan, the Manchester Storm, and the Nottingham Panthers. A lovely tribute there.
Oh, it's very sad. Like the Giants actually started quite well. This is, you know, 7 minutes in the game. It's a bit of a jam play in front of the net. Giants come away 1-0 up, and I thought that the Giants did everything they had to do in the game. As we said, this was a little bit about this is getting our backup goaltender some minutes in between the pipes. You got the both games at the weekend. About getting, like, Max Stewart played a lot of minutes. Unfortunately, Sean Norris went out of the game with a bit of an injury. But it was just about, as you said, very well put, Paddy, just about keeping the legs, taking over, just putting this weekend and then getting back onto the practice rink. Because I talked last week during the podcast about this stage of the season. Now, the practice is even more critical than the game time. Maybe with what has gone previously in the CHL games and a few games against Cardiff, you never know. This is maybe actually a couple of games that Adam maybe could have actually done without and had a day or two's practice. But look, it does no harm for the guys to also get that one trip over to Scotland under the belt, understand what it's like travelling on the boat there for a lot of boys that wouldn't have been on it before, getting the bus legs out of the way in the first period, having to come out sharp, all those things that'll stand them good stead for the weeks coming ahead. Thought we were very functional. We did exactly what we had to do. I thought actually on Friday night we were they're only maybe 7 or 8 days in the camp or whatever, and this is their first game. I just thought with the CHL and the games against Cardiff and stuff, we were just a bit ahead of them, physically and in skill levels and stuff. I just thought there was a margin of a gap on Friday night there that the Glasgow Clan couldn't really compete. Whenever we were skating, they couldn't skate with us. So that'll be something they'll be looking at. And there'll be things that Adam will have been able to take out of the game. And hopefully, you know, everybody comes through whole and they get a good week's practice this week leading into the real action.
I really agree with you on, especially on that first game in this game here, that in the first period, maybe period and a half, and I was like, the Clan struggled to skate with us at all. It was quite, yes, they're a few weeks behind us in camp, but also we're bodies down and, you know, probably not playing at full pace. Actually, we weren't playing at full pace. So, yeah, I think there might have been a level of concern there from the Clan. Simon, what was your take?
Do you know what? I was talking to a couple of lads yesterday, and it might sound really weird, but we were playing at a level in the CHL, which, with the greatest respect, is much faster and, you know, a lot of more prestige than the EIHL. And I'm not slagging the EIHL off here, Patrick. I just think that the level that we've been playing at the last three or four games away in Finland, Austria, and then obviously against Bolzano the weekend before last in Belfast. And we've come down from that and taken that step down from the level that we've been playing at. It's probably tough to try and get back again. I thought the Friday night we dominated. Yes, we gave up a couple of goals. Yes, we're short on bodies. I don't want to take any of those as excuses. When you look at the whole, you know, of little scrums and wasting time with penalties. I mean, the some of the penalties that were called on Friday night's game were beyond me. I've just had a commentators meeting with Luke Fisher and Mike Hicks and all the other commentators around the league, so I'm not allowed to get stuck into the referees at the minute.
But, that's on commentary, Simon. This is a view from the bridge.
That's very true. You know, it's when you look at the some of the decisions. I mean, David was emailing me texting me on Friday night because I was out, and he was telling me about some things that were being called, and it was a wee bit bizarre. But look. And in fairness, you know, the officials were on pre-season form as well, even though they usually continue throughout the year. But the big thing for me was Friday night was that it get the legs moving. You know, people say that, you know, it's about staying fit and getting guys together and what have you for pre-season. You still want to win. You genuinely still want to win. You know, winning becomes a habit. Losing becomes a habit. When you look at the four preseason games we played this year, we've lost three of them. Two against Cardiff, one against Glasgow, which obviously the Saturday game, and we won the Friday game against Glasgow in Brayhead. So, look, for me, it's about trying to get ready for this weekend, which is Friday night against Dundee. It's not ideal with the way things turned out on Friday evening. Saturday evening, obviously, and you know, missing bodies, guys getting hurt when we were there, and the likes of Sean Norris and Mark Garside missing, Mark Cooper obviously not being able to make a trip, and a few other guys as well. But we'll get through it. It's done and dusted, and you know, now the focus is all about Friday evening against Dundee in the Challenge Cup.
I'll bring up a few of the highlights from Saturday just here in a second. There's a comment there, David from Kevin Madden, saying goal pegs are in pre-season form.
Listen, this is something you'll see a lot over the next, whatever, 3-4 weeks, whatever, because we'll be primarily Glasgow, Dundee, Fife. Slightly different peg setup around the rinks. I think me and Sam talked about it the other day, especially in Scotland, you can't have the drilled in ones like you have in the Odyssey because of the curling that goes on in some of the rinks in Scotland. I didn't for 1 minute think Jackson Whistle kicked the pegs off. I really didn't. It's called. I think he's actually gone across. He's on a penalty kill as it is. He's gone across. He's scrambling. He's feeling like, I'm not a goaltender, so I'm only imagining. I've talked to goalies, and when I played in line, the boys were always talking about that they use the posts to push off to get forward. You know, if you're going backwards, you need something to stop you going backwards to go forwards. The post is it. And the field, good goalies will know exactly where the post is, and he's kicked that leg out and pushed himself off to go forward for a save. The posts have come off. You can sneeze sometimes. The posts come off in Scotland. You know, and that's just because of the setup. Jackson makes that exact same play on Saturday night in the Odyssey. The post stays on. He makes exactly the same play. I don't have my notebook in front of me, but I was sitting making notes in the game, and I've left them downstairs, 24-16 or something into the second period. And he's made exactly the same play, the left or right across the net for somebody coming in for the left circle for the one-timer. And he's coming across, going backwards to forwards. And he's kicked out and pushed off a post, and it stayed on. Different setup with pegs in Belfast. So you're going to get them. I thought it was a really, really harsh call. And unfortunately for us, I think we then conceded on that power play. It is what it is. You know, you'll see the Pegs coming off a lot in the next few weeks. They're notoriously, is it Fife? They're really, really bad, or is it Dundee? I can't remember which one's worse.
Fife.
But
Fife. Sorry, Scotland.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not sure. So when I was playing, they had the was like a little nub at the bottom of the nets that a lot of the teams around the UK had, and it literally, I mean, you sort of just lifted the net and dunked it down, and that was your net. That was your that was it for the game itself. And those nets were better than what they are now. Now I'm not sure if I think I was speaking to Jason Ellery the other day about this, and he was telling me the some of the rinks have like a magnet at the bottom of the post, but they also have a magnet in the ice. It looks to me like that's what's happening in Glasgow, and the magnet is probably it's upside down or back to front. It doesn't work. It's really bizarre which way it all, you know, comes together. And even Fife, Shane Owen and Fife, every single season we've complained about him kicking the posts off. So it was no different last year in Glasgow or the year before. And it just so happens, I'm pretty sure that we weren't the first. Jackson wasn't the first goalie to kick it off the other night. And he got the penalty for it.
What we're going to do, well, you know what? When it comes to these games, I'm so unenthused about, like, it's not usual that I'm unenthused about Belfast Giants games, but even coming off the back of these, I was so unenthused about these games because I just didn't feel that they didn't get me up for, you know, because I think this Friday I am excited and I'm looking forward to it. But these two games, they were what they were. Belfast Giants took on the Glasgow Clan, 1-1, lost one. And we move on. You get the highlights if you want to watch them. They are on YouTube from both the Clan and Giants TV. Mr. Kitchen popped down to training as he just enjoys doing, and he had a chat with Tyler Beskarwani, Kieran Long, and Sean Norris.
Whenever you're ready, like.
I guess I'll stand up.
I don't mind. Weekend games, you got two games in a row off. Obviously, the rest of the body have a tough start to the season.
Yeah, it felt good to get a bit of rest and, you know, fix a little bit of bumps and bruises that may have come along the way. Ready to get going here this weekend.
Jackson played the two games against the Glasgow. Obviously, the win on Saturday night. Sorry, win on Friday night, lost on Saturday night. But it's great to have two goaltenders that you can compete with, and obviously, you're backing up there on Friday night as well.
For sure. But,
it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, it is. It's like you said, it's good to have two solid goalies, and you know what? Having Dicko there as well, just to help out with, you know, practices and team morale. And if we need him in the games, I think, you know, we're fairly confident that he can do a job. So, as far as Wiss this past weekend, you know, he played really well. You know, he gave the team a chance to win on Saturday, and, you know, a couple bad breaks there on Friday. He could have easily been a shutout for him.
This weekend, we're back to Challenge Cup action from the Stars. Friday at home, Saturday away. Boys look as if they're well. Monday morning, they're getting around to go, and looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah, a little bit of a sweat today, and a bit of fun for the guys. You know, hasn't been a very very easy start to the year with all the travel and all the games that we've had going on. And so, a little bit of decompression here for the guys is a good thing to get the year going. And I think everybody's ready to go.
Here we go again, take six. Hopefully, no interruptions this time. Weekend, Kieran, against the Glasgow Clan, Friday night away, Saturday night home. What's your thoughts on the weekend?
Yeah, you know, Friday was a good game for boys. Came out hot in the first period, kind of took it to them and carried that pressure on through the second and third period. Saturday, can't have any excuses, but yeah, we were short on bodies. But, you know, I think we could have tightened up a little bit different, a lot tighter, sorry, defensively. I also think... Glasgow obviously wanted it a little bit more than us just to finish their preseason with a win. But yeah, no, we. It was a good little wake up call as well to lose that game, to coming into next weekend to show the boys that we have to be ready for both games, kind of show up in one night and then expect it to be an easy night the next.
And I know the mindset of the team is to win every trophy we're in for. They start this weekend against Dundee. You already got two Challenge Cup trophies and medals in the bag, but they're done. Dundee Friday night, is the next one, next challenge you must be looking forward to?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Kiefer gets honest at the start every year. And, you know, it's for the new boys coming in, it's a little bit weird. But these games are huge for getting a home ice advantage in the Cup. And, you know, it's been crucial for us to play in front of a sellout crowd. And that's obviously helped us win two trophies.
Saturday night, delayed Dundee again, so we're not really worried about that one at the minute. Obviously, you've already touched on, we picked up a few injuries in the last few weeks. Monday morning, you're getting prepared for Friday night's game, and a couple of bodies back.
Yeah, a couple of bodies back. You know, today's been it was a fun skate this morning, just to get the legs going until we get for the hard work in tomorrow. A little bit of a gym session now too, but yeah, you know, it's nice to get these bodies back and get rolling on Friday.
Who won, White or Teal?
Oh, White Teal were awful.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
You're welcome.
It's been a long day. What are you asking me?
We're still going. We're still going, Sean. Weekend, two games against Glasgow.
Yeah.
Picked up a knock on Friday night. Obviously missed Saturday. How are you feeling?
Feeling good, feeling better. It was just slight tear in the hamstring, but it can be repaired pretty quickly. Just try to get the legs going today and hopefully back next weekend.
Good man. Obviously, you know, you've been playing the game Friday night with a 5-2 win against Glasgow. What was your thoughts on that game?
I think we dominated. I think we come out hard, especially coming from the CHL. That pace is just completely different. We have to be quick at everything we do, passing, skating, shooting. So when we come there, we had a lot of possession, which was nice for the boys. And I think we dominated from the first puck drop.
Saturday's game, you would have obviously watched it in Saturday's game. Obviously, coming out the wrong end of a 3-1 scoreline, Glasgow picking up the win. Everybody keeps on saying pre-season games, yeah, it's good. You want to win. You want to win every game you play.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it brings you into the season. It brings you into the season with a positive mindset of winning. If guys are struggling to score, struggling to play the way they want to play, pre-season's where you want to be, scoring goals, taking wins and taking that into the season.
Your first full season stepping up the IHL level. Looking forward to getting it off and running on Friday against Dundee.
I am buzzing, yes. I'm going to do as much rehab as I can on this knee this week, but I'm confident I'll be ready to go on Friday. And I know this arena is going to be packed out, so yeah, the boys are ready to go and I'm buzzing.
Obviously, you picked up a winner's medal in the Challenge Cup last year, along with two others. It's a short career. It's, you know, a lot of guys, if they get a chance to play in their 30s, are still only 24 last week.
24.
So still a long way to go on that.
Yeah.
But it must be, again, it's something in the back of your mind. You know, you want to pick up another trophy this year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as soon as the season finishes, you know you've got to go again. And if I'm honest, for me personally, you're just as hungry. You want to keep that trophy here. You want to keep their medals and you want to keep building it up. Like you said, it's a short career, so you want to be winning as much as you possibly can.
Good man. Thanks, Sean.
Big thanks to Tyler, Kieran, and to Sean. Right. On we go. Time for the fan agenda brought to you by our good friends at Belfast Giants TV. And we are delighted to welcome back on to A View from the Bridge, the captain of your Belfast Giants. That's Mark Cooper. How you doing, mate?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Doing really well. Obviously, you know, you weren't part of what happened at the weekend, but looking back, how are you feeling going into what is the opening games of the Challenge Cup against Dundee this weekend?
I'm extremely excited. I really like our group, and I like how we've played in every game, minus maybe Tapera. Like, I think we've been in every game. It's been close, and had a chance to win, I think, all those games. So I really like where we're at. I like the group Kiefer's put together. I think we're really coming together well, minus a few injuries. I think we have a really solid group, and I think everyone's super excited to get things rolling.
Patrick?
You freeze there?
Sorry, my internet dropped out there, boys. I was just sending you a text message on WhatsApp. Sorry, David, take it from there.
Oh, you want me to go? Sorry, Paddy, I would have jumped in there, but I thought you were just like pausing. Like, there was a dramatic pause here for what you were going to say next. Mark, I've been talking sort of every guy that we've had on this season asked a similar type of question about happiness. And that how important is having that happiness away from the rink and what it brings to the rink. And obviously, little tiny things like having Guinness every single day. People, if you want to explain that in more depth. Yeah. But just the importance of being happy, a happy player away from the rink makes a happy player on the ice.
Yeah, for sure. I think a hockey season is extremely stressful, so you need to escape it mentally. As much as you can, especially the format of the IHL is every game's magnitude is just that much more important. So the mental grind's definitely there. But yeah, so my girlfriend and I got a puppy over the summer, and he's been keeping me sane and getting me outdoors as much as possible. So happiness away from the rink is extremely important. And I think all the guys, girlfriends, wives, or fiancés do a great job letting us escape and enjoy our happiness away from the rink. So it's huge, and I think that's part of why we've been so successful the last 2 years. Kiefer really preaches that.
Talk to me, Mark, about stress. So it would be easy from a fan's perspective to just think this is a game. You guys are the luckiest guys in the world. You are playing a game for 11 that we'd all love. I said often, we'd love to do it, but we're not good enough. You represent this great city. You represent us. But the stress, who was it, Paddy, talked about the dog days? Was it Jordan Boucher a couple of seasons ago? About whenever you get into that grind where you've came through Christmas and then you've still got 20, maybe 30 games to go. And it's like, it has to weigh on you hard, that on mentally as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think you can see it in the league, like the last couple of years. I think teams really fall off towards the end of the year, just because you can see the fatigue setting in. And I think you got to just approach every day as a new day and take the little wins when you can and just try and get better every day. Like the dog days going to Dundonald in January, February, they're definitely not as bright as the SSC but I think ultimately it comes down to like every Friday or Saturday when we play at home, our crowd is buzzing and we kind of look forward to that every week, especially when we're at the practice rink and when practice is tough. It's all about putting a good performance in on the weekend and playing in front of our fans.
Mark, Simon Kitchen, big fan.
Hey, Simon. Nice to meet you.
And you. You know, obviously, we all know you're captain now. I know there's some of the fans are asking, how did that come about? How did you get the news? But looking, obviously, this is your third year in Belfast. You've picked up 5 trophies. You've watched David Gubin going into the middle of the rink and all wherever arena we picked the trophy up at and then laughing at the sky. And you've got that responsibility now on your shoulders to hopefully be able to do that towards the end of the season as well. How does that make you feel? And I know your mum and dad are super proud of you as well.
Yeah, no. When I got word that I'd be captain, I was extremely humbled and really excited to grasp the opportunity. I lived with David my first year here, and then last year we hung out a bunch and roomed together on the road. He was a great leader. I learned a lot from him. And I think I can bring my own little flavor on it. I'm just extremely excited about the opportunity of just being the captain of this great franchise, but also about the potential of lifting trophies for the guys and the team and the city. It's extremely exciting, and I can't wait to see what this season brings.
And when you look back at last year and everybody, you know, all the fans are still, I know we're travel champions, we're this, that and the other. And yes, we are, absolutely. But that's now gone. and everything, all the focus starts. Yes, we've had the CHL, and we've still got a couple of games to go in the CHL. Yes, we've had our warm-up games, and I don't like calling them friendlies, but warm-up games.
Yeah.
But Friday, Dundee in Belfast, it's going to kick off the season with the opportunity to get back to Belfast for another Challenge Cup final, because as you pass that knowledge on to the new group, just how important it is in these games in the middle of September.
Yeah, I think everyone, I think, is quite aware of the league format and the three trophies that are up for grab and how to get there. But I think the two documentaries of the last 2 years are always playing somewhat in the room, and those home games obviously mean a lot. So I think the guys know that home ice advantage is extremely important. I think 2 years ago against Cardiff, I think it was pretty much the reason we won that game. The crowd kept us buzzing. We were down. Our energy wasn't great. And then they just kept screaming and yelling. And we got one goal, and then it kind of went from there. But I think everyone's extremely excited and knows how important these games are, and know how important every game is.
Go take one of the questions from the people watching in. Chris Revel, having played at such a high level in the CHL, is it difficult to adjust to domestic games?
I wouldn't say it's difficult. I think sometimes you'll have these teams come into our arena that don't play in as big arenas like Glasgow or like Dundee this weekend, and they'll get excited about our crowd and they'll bring an energy that we might have not seen from the CHL. But I think overall, I think we're just going to approach it the same way try to get after them early and get the crowd into it. And I think that's kind of where we're at. And once we're in domestic competition, I think a game's a game and everyone's just ready to compete and have fun.
One from Alan Brett. He says, how did you find out you'd been made captain?
This summer I had a few chats with Kiefer, and I think he mentioned that I was probably the first candidate, but I'm sure he wanted to see me and make sure I didn't get too out of shape over summer before anything. So I didn't hear anything until I showed up. He told me the morning they announced it that we're going to announce the captains today, and I knew it then, and I was extremely humbled, like I said earlier, and ready to grasp the opportunity.
One last question from me is, you know, what is it that you think qualifies you to be the captain? What do you bring to the room that is the reason why you're wearing the C right now?
I think for myself, it's just an everyday approach. I try to approach practice games the same way, whether that be a mental or physical warm-up. I feel like the guys see that and respect that. Also, just being able to chime in when needed to talk. I would say I'm a more lead by example captain than a rah-rah guy. But and then additionally, just trying to bring it every day on the ice and play with passion and pride and excitement every day and try to get better every time I step on the ice.
Mark, we were just talking yesterday, just one for me to close, Paddy. That last season, very first game of the season, away in Cardiff in the exhibition game, the game was won by an empty net game-winning goal from, can you remember who got that?
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah, and the season was rounded out. So the first game of the season was won by a Mark Cooper empty net goal against Cardiff, and the last game of the season was rounded out with an empty net grand slam winning goal from Mark Cooper. So if I can have another one of those for May Day, mate, that'd be really appreciated.
I'll look for an empty net, or maybe one with a goalie in it too, but we'll see.
Fantastic. Well, listen, Mark, we really appreciate you coming on, joining us. Congratulations on being made captain. We look forward to seeing you on the ice this coming weekend against the Dundee Stars. And yeah, thanks, mate.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah.
Big thanks to Mark Cooper for his time. Good to see you. Like, just briefly before we move on, you know, we talk about Mark and about how, you know, he puts so much in regards to this side. David and you, our good friend Neil Russell, calls him the MVP. When you look at the side, I wasn't surprised that he was made captain.
He just does everything on and off the ice that you'd want a leader to do. He goes to the dirty areas. He's made that sort of little area just off the side of the net on the power play zone where they try and get it down low, and he's cutting in front on it. He came up with some massive goals last season. It's not even goals and assists. It's just little things he does during a game, especially in games where we're maybe not playing as well as we could, or games where we're up against it. He's the guy that sometimes just steps and puts everybody on his back and sort of like, follow me. So absolute, really solid call for captain. I really hope that in years to come, when Mark's back visiting Belfast with his wife and kids, as it'll be in days to come, that his portrait is in that captain's corridor, hoisting a trophy. Because if anybody, and I know we get close to some players, if anybody ever deserves to, as a captain, lift a trophy for this club, it's that guy. He just epitomises what it means to be a Giant and to have that C on his chest. Congratulations to him. Well, well deserved.
Absolutely. Right, let's move it on. If you were keeping an eye on the Elite League website, you've seen that the league has introduced a brand new system with regards to statistics, logging more time on ice, new graphics, XG. So we had the opportunity to chat with, well, who else? But the by the way, David, it's back.
Somebody's fixed the machine.
Stat man.
We had the opportunity to chat with the the media and communications manager for the Elite League. That is, of course, Luke Fisher.
And well, in the bridge, Mr. Fisher. It's been a little while, mate.
It's been a very long time. I think not since we came back from COVID, maybe.
So here we go. The say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. We're going into our third post-COVID season. Stronger than ever when you look at numbers in pre-season, numbers coming off the back end of last season. Well, you must be pretty happy with where the league sits at the minute.
Yeah, like really happy. I think a lot of the growth and the effort that our teams have been putting in over the past few seasons since we came back from COVID is really sort of counter. You always expect those games at the end of the season, that, you know, the games mean more the further into the season you get, have bigger crowds. But we're starting to see that actually a lot of teams are almost getting up a lot earlier. You know, Cardiff are almost selling out their building from the beginning of the season. And more sort of, it's not like this big thing where it comes up in January, it goes down again, and then it comes back up towards the end of the season. You're seeing more and more that actually teams' averages are very high. And like last year, to go over a million spectators again, like for only the second time ever, second season back after COVID. And also, you know, it was 9 teams had an increase in their average attendance. And the only one that didn't was Sheffield, which is the biggest. And they were like, it was like the average was like 10 short from the previous season. So effectively everyone's grown, and that's really good.
What are you putting it down to? Product?
Product? I think it's, we should really say that teams do an awful lot of amount to grow their own businesses and their brands in their own cities. Like, you guys know what the Giants are doing in Belfast to, you know, this whole Giant Night Out campaign, which comes up a lot of the time on social media to really push the whole night out. Manchester, Dundee, that now in Glasgow as well, doing huge jobs to really promote those sort of game night experiences. I think that's another thing. Like, look at Sheffield in their preseason. I mean, 9,000 and 6,000 for preseason games. The whole game night experience there. People, you know, we joke about the intro going on for so long, but the whole show that you get, and everyone's gradually getting there with those things. I think someone said it at the fixtures meeting in the summer that they'd lost more games at home than normal from other teams, but people just, the match night experience was so good that actually the results weren't as important for a lot of the newer fans that are coming, because they're coming for that entertainment. And that's going back to the fan survey. That's effectively what we learned, is that people view coming to a hockey game as buying an entertainment product.
Yeah, well, I know that Robert Fitzpatrick has talked for a number of years about, say, let's call the Belfast Giants model. We're on a Belfast Giants podcast about, you know, we're getting 6,000 in, or give or take, most games. I'm not exactly sure of the number. Let's say 1,500 to 2,000 are season ticket holders. Then you've got your 1,000 that are like completely invested in the team, that come to as many games as they can. And then you've got your couple of thousand of walk-ups or people that are just making a night out. So half your crowd aren't really Belfast Giants fans yet. Obviously, you're trying to grow that bottom base, and that's where you get those steady crowds. But like, it's the guys are out there. It's not so much, I know the social media guys and all are absolutely brilliant, but it's the digital billboards around city centres. It's getting out there in the workplaces and spreading the message, and even just taking those trophies around and being visible in the city.
It's everything, and it's also working out what works for your market, because what works in Belfast might not necessarily work in Glasgow or in Dundee. And I know from talking to the guys in Manchester, I think they've been doing quite a lot of targeted social media adverts, and they found that that actually really works for them. So they've continued with that. So I think teams have, you know, some of them really honed in on what works and really gone for it. And I think they're seeing the results of it. Plus, I think you can't underestimate the level of the product as well. You know, last year's league table, at different parts in the league table, was very tight. And when you're going into games and it is completely unknown what's going to happen, that obviously helps sell tickets as well.
Well, we've talked about the excitement of what could happen on a game night. Obviously, you've made some changes around, little changes within the game night experience, both for coach and staff and for fans. You want to give a little bit of an explanation what we're really here to talk about tonight?
Yeah, so the season that we lost, got interrupted by COVID and never finished, that 2019-20, we had brought in a completely revamped website, back-end statistics system, registration system and everything. And that really took us a level on, you know, with the shot maps, the face-off things that we weren't logging before. And from the back end, made life an awful lot easier for how we deal with like league administration. But now we've gone one further. We have Time on Ice for this season live, which is something I've wanted to do for ages. We had some access to some Time on Ice last year that wasn't live. And it wasn't, I would say, wholly accurate because it was coming in remotely. But doing it in the arena is the only way you can see if a guy goes for a change when the camera's moved. There's no better way than doing that. So I'm very excited about that one, because that's a really good number, just that you see it in the game, you see who's played loads of shifts, you can see then over the course of the season who's consistently logging. And I think you can also see progression. Like, there are going to be some young players that will start the season with low time on ice. Where are they by the end of it? How much do they earn from their performances? Like, look at some of the Dundee kids this weekend. Mark Lefebvre is probably going to have a hard time not giving them ice time in the season if they're scoring goals. So to see that kind of journey build is also quite cool. So the time on ice is great. We've also got the updated shot maps to give more of the heat map, which is a really good visual representation of what's going on. I like to see the individual goals or shots or things like that, but actually the heat map kind of gives you the stress of where the weak points are, I guess. And then there's the XG, which is completely new, really. Not many leagues in Europe have this. CHL has it. You'll know from your XG and your expected win percentages against some of the CHL teams. This is cool. XG is cool. And it's going to take a little bit of time to develop, because we have players that have been in the league for a season, players that have been in the league for six seasons, some who are completely new. So to sort of make that calculation is going to take a little bit of honing as the season goes in. But I think that's kind of cool. Like, you're going to, before a game, you're going to get an expected goals per team. And if you look at the data that we had for last year's playoff final with the XG, it was almost bang on. It was something like four and a bit for Belfast and one and a bit for Cardiff. And yeah. I don't think it's going to be bang on every time, but it was just very interesting when we saw that plugged in. It's like, oh, that was really accurate, actually.
Well, you know, I love, it's sad, bit of a nerd, love doing the stats. And it's something like, remember, for many years, standing with my notepad, doing face-off statistics, you know, offensive zone, defensive, neutral, and it takes away the pencil and paper, and it gives you, I guess the advantage for coaching staff is at the end of a period, they're able to look straight away. Yeah. They're able to see who's carrying too much load here. If we're winning, he doesn't need to play 27 minutes tonight. He can, you know, have a few shifts off or whatever. But so, bit of investment from the league in that as well, but a lot of volunteerism around the league is going to need to go in to manage that as well.
Yeah, there's quite heavy investment from our side in this, but in terms of the actual resources, yes. So we needed each team, off-ice team, to grab some extra, people for off-ice. So Belfast, because you've had to do things like this for CHL, less of a problem. Cardiff the same, and a couple of other teams sort of already had quite big crews off-ice. Some teams didn't, so they've had to expand those, and that's, you know, a lot of hard work that's gone into it that we really appreciate from everyone across the league for that. Because it can only be as good as, you know, everyone is prepared to make it. But something we saw when we were meeting with the off-ice crews a few weeks ago was actually everyone's pretty excited about this one. There wasn't really the feeling of, oh, so it's more stuff, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's like, oh, no, this is cool because you can see it and you can see it immediately and you can see what it means and you can see how shots, fine, you got the heat maps, but now you can see that that actually impacts your XG and everything is kind of connected in. And we have some things that we're prepping for web streams and jumbotrons that will also bring a bit more of this to life for fans and for people in the arena as well. And I think that also helps when you can see that what you're doing actually has like real world impact there and then at the end of the period and it's up there, or you see the coach on the tablet actually looking, tracking it, because a lot of them were asking when we were testing in preseason, they wanted the links for the time on ice. They wanted to see it for their team and for the team they were about to play. That's the other thing. It's the pre-scout is quite big on that one.
And we'll come back to those stats later on in the season. I have a little, you know, revisit and see how that's all going for you. Another guy formerly of this parish, somebody that we talked about a few weeks ago that probably helped elevate the podcast from a couple of guys in their bedroom to a semi-decent product, Mark Brooks. You've noticed what he did with the Belfast Giants, and you've came in with that multi-million pound deal for him.
Yeah, really good. I'm really happy. Like, I obviously, when Mark was working for the Giants, we had quite a lot to do with each other from league side and Giants side. But actually now working with him, it's quite cool when we're on the phone to each other and talking about different things. And I think his passion for hockey, no one can doubt that. And his passion for selling hockey and promoting hockey and wanting to make it bigger. And I think it's really positive that he's here. You know, it's not easy, and he only came in at the start of August. So I think realistically, a lot of what he does is probably more geared towards next season. You know, trying to sell a season in 6 weeks is not easy. But I think it's hugely positive that we have him on board and to actually have someone now dedicated to doing this, because before, other people would sort of do bits and bobs, but they're focused on running their team. Quite rightly running their team. So to have someone now that can follow things up or go and make approaches. And again, everyone that filled out the fan survey, we're very grateful to you for that, because Mark now has a huge amount of data to start with that actually before last March, we didn't have. We didn't know a lot about our fan base apart from some online statistics or season ticket holder statistics. And now he's got quite a good breakdown of the demographics of the fan base that he can start looking at when we talk to potential sponsors.
I suppose this comes back to almost like where we were starting, and we're saying the product's improving. Not that there's a split from the 10 teams still run the league, but you know, you've got Michael in the background, you've got yourself now, Mark. There's a team away from the teams themselves running the league as well.
Yeah, and I think that's good, because actually for some of the key people that were, you know, owners that were also helping to run the league, it means they can actually concentrate on running their teams. And ultimately that's where it should be. Like, I think If you're owning one team, the same way you employ staff in your own organization, you know, that's, you want people to come to you and say, can we do this? Or what do you think about this? And run ideas past. And that's now what we can actually start doing, rather than the league being okay in someone's almost spare time, which I think is probably what it was 10 or so years ago, long time before me. But I find it very positive like that. It's nowhere near when I meet people from other leagues and they have, you know, 15 staff or something. But I think you have to keep stuff relative and also think, where was it 2018 when I came in? And we sat a season out. That's also the really important thing. We sat a whole season out, and actually we've come back from that with bigger crowds. So I think everything together is just very positive.
Well, then to wrap it up in a nice little, put a little bow on top, a little message maybe for the fans, for those that are just maybe about to press that button on Twitter, or X as it's called now, just before you press it, Luke Fisher wants to put something in your head.
Please be nice to each other. Come on. Like, it's I think people are, how to say that? When I noticed when Threads came, and the merits and not of Threads is a completely different topic, but Threads pretty much made you use a username and a photo because it was tied to your Instagram. And immediately it was a lot more of a positive platform. A, because it's new, but also it just was because you were associated with it. And it's very easy when you don't have to have a photo, you don't have to have your name, it's just an alias you're using to just... But like, you know, come on, we're all excited for the start of the season. We're all super happy and enthusiastic. Like, I don't really think we need to fight with each other, especially not in preseason. Like, I just, yeah. I think if everyone could just play nicely with each other online, because we all want the same thing, right? We all want to see tight games. We all want to see really good. We'd all love it if all the rinks were full. Absolutely, we would all love it if every single game was like that. So, yeah, just be nice to each other. And I could say a lot more about it, but maybe I shouldn't.
And enjoy your hockey, of course.
That's it. Enjoy the hockey. Whether you're watching it online, whether you're watching it in the ring, enjoy the hockey, enjoy the atmosphere. Enjoy that people are actually doing what they love, and whether that's actually the players, but also a lot of the off-ice people, the people behind your team's social media account. You know, it's not their fault if you lose. And they're also, trying to do what they love and trying to help the team as much as they can. So just, yeah, be nice, be happy and enjoy it.
Oh, we know we get some cracking tweets to AVFTB for things that have gone wrong. But listen, look, let's get half a dozen games or weeks into the season, have you back on for a little chat, see how it's all started, how your stats system's going, and all the best and thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you. I'd love to. Enjoy the rest of the night. Bye-bye.
A big thanks to Luke Fisher for his time. It's a big thanks to Luke Fisher for his time. And I had a quick look through that statistics program and it's really interesting. I stuck a link up in the notes there with the comments to sort of point out the playoff final from last season. And he's right about, Davey, about how much it tied in with what took place in the ice.
Yeah. Stats are what stats are at the end of the day. You know, they're there to be interpreted and they're to be used if you can use them. And, you know, we've had Steve Thornton, we've talked about these things for many, many years. It's all about finding a little tiny of margin of advantage over your competition and what's a fairly, you know, party league in terms of ability on some nights. So if you can just find that little 1% advantage over your opponent from your pre-scout, you know, just a little weakness in a goaltender, a tendency, a defensive system, you know, a very good man to chat about this, obviously, upcoming. But, you know, that's what we're looking for, is fine margins.
Yeah, we're going to come to him in just a second. We just want to ask you a question, Simon. Is this something that you might use during games?
I use Davey's stats during games.
Fair enough.
More accurate.
Fair enough.
We had literally before we come on to AVFTB tonight, I was on with all the other commentators around the league, and Luke and Mike Hicks. And you know, fair play to them. They've basically invested in what we to make the product better for both in arena and on any webcast that fans want to watch. So if they manage to get everything put together, it should be very, very handy. And having all that information at your fingertips at the end of a period is very, very good as well. So, yeah, hopefully wish them all the best, both on ice officials and the off-ice officials. We'll see where we go to it this year.
Absolutely. Right. The Belfast Giants return to Challenge Cup action, looking to defend the Challenge Cup that they won as part of the treble of last season. And their first up is the Dundee Stars. And they've got a new head coach, a returning head coach, and a returning man, a man who I'm pleased to say is back on this show. He hasn't been on since 2017. He is the original friend of the show. It's Mark Lefebvre. How are you doing, mate?
Save the best for last, eh, boys? So
As always.
Oh, it's great. It's good to be back. See you guys. And it's great to be back in the league. So it's I'm looking forward to Friday night.
You've obviously been in France at Chamonix the last couple of years. How's the return to Dundee come about?
It's like returning home, to be honest with you. Nothing much has changed. Obviously, the club's got a bigger framework inside the city. You see the crowds are up, more sponsorship, just more professional overall. And you can see that, I think, across the league. It's nice to see. So the league's always evolving. And you want to have a strong league overall. And I think the name of the league is getting better across Europe. So that's always great to see.
And what sort of coaches come back? Is it a different Mark Lefebvre that's come back from the one that went in 2017?
Yeah, I think a more mature one. I just think overall from the X's and O's, man management, just everything's gotten better. I've seen a lot of things over in other leagues, whether it was in the East Coast League, work with the National Hockey League teams, working in Denmark and then working in France. You just see different things and different professionalisms and how they handle things. And I've tried to put that into my own coaching philosophy and obviously bring that to Dundee.
Welcome back, Coach. It's really lovely to have you back on AVFTV. It's been too long, but... looking at France v what you're going to be having here in Dundee, the last couple of years has been, it's been pretty much European rosters, a few Finnish guys, mostly Europeans, a few Hungarians. I don't know whether that feeds back into your own time in the Hungarian leagues, but back into Dundee with a much more North American style of hockey.
Yeah, well, in France, I had no say on any players. The GM and the assistant GM, they signed the whole team. Hence, we only had two North Americans in the 2 years I was there, so... you know, being a North American coach and trying to get, you know, Finnish guys, Swedish guys, Russians, Czechs, all on the same page to play a North American style is a little bit tough. But, you know, I want to have full control of my roster again. And Dundee's definitely provided that. So that's why we've gone with the North American style roster. And you see that across our league anyways. It's most of the teams are mostly North Americans. So we're no different.
And then you're saying, obviously, the setup in France is slightly different. Back on Dundee, not only head coach, head of hockey ops as well. Is that something that you've been looking forward to getting into?
Yeah, eventually I want to move away from coaching. Obviously, I love it, but eventually I want to get into the upper management role, whether it's a director of scouting or a GM role. And I really enjoy building my teams, something I really enjoyed in the past and something I wanted to get back to or something I never got to do in Denmark and in France especially. So this was part of it, more moving into an operations role as well.
Coach, when you look around the league and the IHL, all the teams have, in my opinion, basically seem to have got better this summer, which is what you expect because the league's got better over the last few years. But the backbone of every team in the EIHL is their British players, and you've got some really good young players. I really like young Jonathan McBean. Craig Largan gives it all every time he's on the ice. Chris Ingalls and Craig Moore. You must be happy with the when I say British, I take that a little bit and tighten it in for Dundee because those kids are, most of them are local as well.
Yeah, we don't have the luxury of going out and getting kids from down south or in the Midlands or anything like that. So we have to have a lot of locally homegrown players. So and you see Johnny McBean, he's the skill set's there. I mean, he's only 19 years old, but he's just going to keep getting better, playing with imports, being in a professional environment. You know, I think he can be on the national team in a few years. Craig Garrigan, he's a good, hard-nosed player. He's not overly skilled on the offensive side of things, but he got 2 goals on Saturday, so maybe I'm wrong on that. But, you know, he's definitely going to provide, some tenacity towards our lineup. And obviously, Morrissey and Inge, I had before my first time around in Dundee. So I've seen their development grow over the years, and it's good to see now it's the development into more mature players, and they're only in their mid-20s, so I still think the best is yet to come with those guys.
We touched on, obviously, what you've been doing the last couple of years. It's all about this Friday. Coming back in to make your second debut as a coach as the Dundee Stars against the Belfast Giants in Belfast, what sort of challenge are you expecting from the Giants on Friday night?
Well, I know you guys set the benchmark for the league last year for everybody, where all the other 9 clubs want to get to, winning every trophy available. You see the standard of players that Kiefer brings in and Thorts bring in. We want to get to that level as well. So it's a good challenge to see where we're at on Friday night and see where we can improve as well. But hopefully we want to win, obviously. But they've set the standard for the league.
Let me just quickly ask you about, you know, the side that you put together. You talked about putting this side together and having the opportunity to do so. One of the signings that really raised an eyebrow is the return of Kevin Carr to the league. Did so well with the Nottingham Panthers, but also went back and played ECHL, has been in Norway last year or so. But, you know, he's a guy who's a top-level goalkeeper in his league and he's going to win you a lot of games.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his pedigree. He's, you know, led the league in shutouts a few years ago with Nottingham. He you know, that was one of the tougher signings to get across the line, because he had some other offers, you know, not just in our league, but in other leagues across Europe as well. And, you know, fortunately for us, he's come to Dundee, and, you know, expect big things from, you know, you need goaltending to win. I don't care where you're at. You guys have Besko and Wessel and that there. And you know, you see all their top quality goalies across the league. So you need that to win. And Kevin's no different.
Sorry, David, just one more for me. Is the fact that one of the other names that stands out is your captain in Dryden Dow. He's a fixture in Dundee now.
Yeah, he's a Dundonian, basically. I wish he was counted as a British player, so we have another import. But, you know, he's a great two-way defenseman. Really helps our power play on the offensive end of things, on the defensive back end. And he's just a great leader off the ice. It was a no-brainer for me to bring him back as a captain as well. So he's really helped me out quite a bit in transitioning and coming back. And what's new since I've been gone since the last time. So he's definitely been great to work with.
Coach, KPIs. Key performance indicators. If you know, we spoke to Jeff Hutchins probably around the last time you were, and he talked about the realism of Dundee probably aren't going to win a Grand Slam. Okay, you just go out every night to try and win every game, and that's what every team will set up to do. Have you got like realistic targets in your sight? Is it getting through the Challenge Cup group? Is it qualifying for the playoffs, or is it shorter stints than that? Is it seeing where you're at the end of September, seeing if you need to make changes, look at it again at Halloween? What's the sort of the mindset going into the season?
Well, for us, it's to make it that top eight for the playoffs. Because anything can happen in our league, but you get hot for 2 weekends and you're a playoff champion.
Yeah.
Big thing for us is to get into the Challenge group, into the final eight, because I think it's such a dress rehearsal for our guys to see how the playoffs work in that 120-minute game aggregate score. So it's important for us to qualify the top eight in both of those. And you never know, miracles happen, right? Leicester City won the premiership in soccer and football. Not saying it'd be a miracle if we won, but you know, everybody expects, you know, seeing four or five clubs to compete at the top of the league all year. But you know, for us, realistically, making to the playoffs top eight and in the Challenge Cup top eight, and then anything can happen from there.
Simon?
On that note,
we love to
really good to see you back.
We would love to have what you guys are doing right now in Champions League and Continental Cup and everything like that. So, I mean, you know, winning playoffs might go a long way to doing that. And but I see you guys are getting a great experience this year playing in Champions League. So I think every team in our league should be striving for that, because I think it just gives our league a bigger name in Europe. And you see the results that you guys have had. You beat Bolzano. You pushed Innsbruck to the end there, and you had a couple other good results against the other big clubs. So I think it makes our league look a lot better, because I think if teams decline to go, I think it should be mandatory. Every team, if they're qualified for Europe, they should be mandated to go no matter what. And the way you guys have performed, it just makes our league look a lot better. It looks a little more attractive to players that are playing in Europe right now as well.
One last question.
Sorry, I jumped across you there. Is that how big of a factor is that for a player coming to Dundee? That there's an opportunity. I really don't want to be disparaging here, Coach, and I'm not trying to be. The likelihood of Dundee playing in Champions Hockey League next season is quite small in comparison to perhaps one of the other five teams that you mentioned, because I'm not just going to say it's Belfast only. But the likelihood is the winners of the league will probably come out of that chunk of five teams. Belfast being in the Champions Hockey League help you recruit players?
Well, I think just performance-wise, like I said, you know, your results that you've had so far, it makes the league is like, okay, well, this team's doing so well in Europe. How are the other teams in the league? They must do well as also, and they must be tough teams and good teams as well to be on. So it just showcases our league overall. So I think everybody has to work together and making sure teams do well in Europe as well, and just makes, you know, puts a spotlight in our league.
One final question for me, Coach, before we wrap it up, is that, you know, you're back after all these years back in Dundee. Is it good to be back? And is there anywhere you're looking forward to getting back to?
Well, it's great to be back. Like I said, it's like being home again. You know, the late league's always been like a second home for me. I always find my way back somehow here. But I think a lot of it has to do with the people as well that are around the league. They make the league. You know, I've been in other leagues like France, Denmark. There's no real cohesion. I think it's a different animal. Those other leagues are run by the federation, whereas our league's run by the clubs. So everybody's working together to make sure it's a stronger league. Well, obviously Belfast Friday night, right? So that's one place looking forward to coming back to. But I'm looking forward to going to Sheffield and then hearing Simsy scream over the mic for 60 minutes. That's one. But I've already talked to the league about
you can't have missed that. Come on. You can't have missed that.
I've already talked to the league about their 15-minute intro. So it's but I think just overall in the league, I think just getting – I haven't been to Guildford yet because they were in the league last time I was around. So that's going to be something I'm looking forward to. But the one thing I like about our league, I think everybody has a chance to win every night this season. I think every club has done a great job in the summer of improving their clubs on the ice, off the ice as well. And it just makes it more parity in the league. obviously, other teams have bigger budgets, have extra imports, all that stuff. But it doesn't really matter because you can only dress 15. But at the end of the day, everybody has done a great job to make the league more attractive and more competitive. And I think it's going to be a great season overall.
Well, listen, Coach, it's great to have you on. It's good to see you back. Thank you very much for your time. Not going to wish you luck this weekend, but we'll wish you luck moving forward from that. And yeah, well, hopefully we'll see you back on here through the season.
Well, we'll try to ruin your party on Friday night. So, but I'm looking forward to seeing you guys and let's have a great season, everybody.
Yeah. Fantastic. Cheers, Coach. Big thanks. Big thanks to Mark Lefebvre. Good to see him back in the league. A really, really great character, David.
Wonderful. Really, really great guy. Someone who touches base occasionally on the league just to, you know, see how Belfast are going, how we're doing and stuff. It's kept his finger on the pulse of VFTB. We're always very, very grateful to any coach, but it was great when Mark came back in the league that he agreed to come on VFTB again. Always had a soft spot for us, always had a soft spot for him. And as you say, after Friday night, hope he does really, really well.
Simon, one of the things that always say about coaches coming in this league, having experience within this league is vital. Mark's come in here from Chamonix. He spent a time in Chamonix in the French league, obviously down in Nottingham. We've got another coach coming in from the French league, but the difference between the two is that Mark's got experience in this league, and that is vital.
Well, there's another difference. We like Mark and he's it's Dundee, it's not Nottingham. But Davey just touched on our play him on Friday night. And then it's we'll wish him luck. No, we won't, because we'll play him on Saturday again as well. But look, he's a character. He comes in, he's a good coach as well, you know. Okay. There's a lot of he knows what he's at, and when you're looking around, he's obviously touched on, he's been in Denmark and he's been in France the last few years, ECHL experience and what have you as well. So, you just never know what's just going to come out on Friday evening. Hopefully a chance to turn up. Hopefully you get off to a really good start. We're going to have another really good crowd at the arena on Friday evening. That's the next one up, and that's the most important one because, again, you want to get off to a good start in the Challenge Cup.
Absolutely. The games this weekend, Friday, 7 p.m, Giants against the Stars in the Challenge Cup at the SSE Arena, of course, on Giants TV. And then we go over to the Dundee Ice Arena on Tayside and to face them again in the Challenge Cup, Saturday, 7 p.m. And you'll get that on Dundee Stars TV. There is a lot of news going about the league. We're overrunning, boys. There is a lot of news. I could talk to you about all the preseason stuff. Not that bad. Riley Brandt used to say, go nuts again. Not that
what
bad.
Happened there?
It seemed to be a bit of a hit, and then he's got into a bit of a fight, and then at the end of the game, he speared somebody. It just seems to be a bit of bad blood between preseason bad blood between Cardiff. It seems to be going on a lot of teams, actually. You look at our game against Glasgow, got a bit feisty with Sato and Stevenson. You look at the game, even Nottingham had their run-ins with Sheffield. They have Sheffield run-ins with Cardiff and Riley Brandt going after people. And it just seems to be that pre-season's got a bit feisty.
It's just markers, yeah. Isn't it? Says really.
Again, for me, there's no such thing as a friendly. They get stuck and I'm your man. No problem.
But yeah, but it seems that Riley Brandt's getting a bit of a reputation for being a bit nuts. And, you see at the end of the game, an overtime winner for the Sheffield Steelers, he comes off the bench, spears somebody and just skips away.
Probably for me, it's worse than the hit along the wall. I've seen people thinking that 5-plus game isn't enough, it's suspensions needed there. I could see an argument that it was barely a minor penalty.
Was it not? I want to say there was a suspension handed out last year in pre-season. I can't remember who it was, but I mean, spearing, what is the penalty for spearing? Is a 5+ match?
Depends. It's got various tariffs, Simon.
It seemed like a bit of a cup check, to be honest with you. It seems that he's come off. He's done a bit of a cup check. It looks like a bit of a spear. You know, I think that from that respect, it is pretty bad. But is it that bad? No. I don't know. It just seems that Brandt himself seems to be getting a bit of a rep before his season's even begun. And long may that continue. Listen, mate, if you want to go in and do things that are going to get you suspended, please just work away. That is absolutely fine. Hello from Belfast. We'll have that. But there seems to be like a lot of things. And then you've got, a bit of a battle between Sheffield and Nottingham the other week when they had that. I just felt that pre-season setting a pretty physical tone.
Well, bums on seats, mate. Bums on seats.
Yeah. But also, do you know what also gets bums on seats, mate? Winning.
Championships. Winning. We'll stick to that.
We'll stick to doing that.
Here at midnight. What about Jackson Whistle getting a little bit of attention from the fans?
I want to put that on the soundboard. I'm reviving, as you can see, I'm reviving the soundboard.
Thanks very much for turning up.
We'll turn that one up then. Again.
Thanks very much for turning up.
Yeah, I want to get that comment because the Clan fans were not happy that he suggested that that's a team we should be beating. Unfortunately for them, he's right. What can you do?
When did he get stick for this? Sorry, I've missed this completely.
It was in the post-game. You don't watch the post-game interviews? Jackson Whistle said the post-game interview for Review from the Bridge. He just looked out, he says, that's a team that we shouldn't be losing to.
I think it's got to back up a lot of the very start of the show, but like if you take the first 30 minutes of Friday night, there's quite a gulf in class there. So I think I'd back Jackson up on that.
He was absolutely right. It's got the backup of the Clan fans, and I'm delighted to see it. Right, gents, any other business before we wrap things up here?
I just want to reiterate what Laura and Marcin were saying earlier on, please, 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 if you're coming along the game on Friday evening, register for the donors list, please. It's imperative we try and do our best for what the organization puts out there every week. And I'm talking like a tumble dryer today. I feel a bit of a cold coming on. But if you can help out in any way, please do so. If you can give blood, please do so. Support what Laura and Marcin and others are trying to put together this weekend.
Here. These sort of drives from the Belfast Giants, some people may feel that they're always going on. They have to go on. They're so important. The organ donation stuff, the blood donation stuff, the bone marrow stuff, it's so important. And even if just like, it could be just one person from the SSC arena on Friday night, just could be one person could have that vital component that is needed by somebody else, and because they signed up that night, they've saved somebody's life. So it's such a small thing to do, but it could have massive repercussions for somebody else's life. So yeah, please, please, please get involved.
Yeah, I'm going to labour the point because I didn't get to speak earlier and I had all these fabulous notes made. But who would have thought 20 years ago that the Belfast Giants would, I know we say about being more than a club and all, but like with the Tom Simpson, the blood, with Dylan, with his kidney issues, with Dahi now, with the donor system, and recently we did the stem cells, we did our own Pint for a Pint where we've asked people to go and donate blood. If you can, donate blood, donate platelets if you can. No, Simon, if you need advice on what to do, speak to Kitchy. He'll tell you where to go and, well, tell everybody where to go, doesn't he? But, he'll explain to you where you can give blood. But it's about exposure and it's about publicity and using the hockey club to be able to do that and using this podcast to be able to put a wee bit of exposure. Simon said at the start, head, shoulders, knees and toes, they're no good to him. Where none of us are getting out of this gig alive. So, you want to leave a little legacy, leave a little bit of you behind. And, what a legacy to have to give someone else sight, life, heart, whatever. That's you want to talk about tree legacy, doing something like that. But you've got to talk. You've got to tell your family this is how you feel about it. And it's not an easy topic. I can guarantee you that's not an easy topic to have. But have it if you're brave enough and you want to do it. Because thinking about it, it's came along over the last lot of years. I've given a lot of thought. It's something I was always, when I was younger, was like, no way, I'm not. And now, if I can do something to help somebody else out any day of the week, I'll do it. But if I can leave something behind that somebody else who would otherwise be coming with me can stay and carry on a wee bit longer, I'm all in. So do what you can, come along, register, leave some of yourself behind when you're on your way out anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, and all that'll be part on keep an eye on the bridge on Friday night around the SSE arena on how you can be part of it. David, anything from yourself? Nope. Done. And then we're all done. Belfast Giants return to the first proper game of the Elite League season. That is in the Challenge Cup on Friday night against the Dundee Stars, 7 p.m. And if you can't get down to that, you follow it on Giants TV with Simon. And then we go over the following day to the Dundee Ice Arena to take on the Stars once more, Saturday at 7 p.m. And if you're not flying over for that, you can get it on Dundee Stars TV. Big thank you to Mark Cooper and to Mark Lefebvre, to the lads down at training, to Laura and to Marchine, who also came on and joined us. Big thank you to you, David, and to you, Simon.
Patrick, David.
It was good to see us. And yeah, you can get us on at AVFTB on Twitter/X. I'm still calling it Twitter. I don't care. Facebook, kingdomofthegiants.com, podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com is where you can send us emails if you'd like to do so. And that's it. Wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time. All of you from the bridge. Podcast Network.